Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
You know, I thought it was a great job by all our players tonight. I thought they really did a terrific job. We had a good week of preparation. We got some big plays from all three phases of the game. Just got to give credit to everybody.
And Luck looks in that direction off the step. He throws to the left side. The ball is picked off by Alfonso Denner. Takes it away. Down the right side of the 15, to the 10, to the 5.
And this place is absolute bedlam.
Shotgun snap. Luck retreats in the pocket. Dropped to the backside by Jamie Collins, seemingly untouched.
I love it, man. Just the atmosphere throughout the building the whole week. The atmosphere pregame. The atmosphere throughout the game. Nothing better than that, man.
Throws it to the near side. Ball is bobbled, then intercepted by Hightower on the deflection.
It's a good win for us, and I thought those guys really did a good job.
Luck fires down the middle. Ball picked off by Jamie Collins. Runs it right to the 30. Sprint pass to 25-20, and Jamie Collins hit hard at the 19-yard line. And another interception thrown by Andrew Luck.
The plan is to always move the ball and score points. So whatever is the best way to do that, that's what we're going to do.
Get out the way.
Hand off to Blunt. He runs into the left. He's in with a dive. Touchdown, Patriots. The Colts having trouble getting lined up. A hand off to Blunt. He runs it left. LeGarrette's on his feet. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Out of the eye. Hand off to Blunt. He dives across the middle. Into the end zone for his third touchdown of the day.
Kid's a beast.
Our game plan was to play tough and play physical. Go out there and get a win, you know, by any means necessary.
Tom Brady hands it off to LeGarrette Blount. Jump cut right. And he rambles out of a tackle. He's gone to the 50. Blount to the 40. Blount to the 30. Blount to the 20. Blount to the 10. Blount to the end zone for the fourth time tonight. Touchdown, Patriots.
Really proud of our football team. Looking forward to moving on, you know, to a bigger game next week.
You know, what's playing on my mind is how soon I can get a Bud Light in my mouth after this win. That is priority number one.
Victory formation for Tom Brady and the Pats. Bound for the AFC Championship game for the third straight year.
Nicely done, Kevin Collins. Nicely done, my man. And if that didn't get you pumped and jacked, I don't know what will. I really don't. That's a super job by our producer, Kevin Collins. We welcome you into the playbook for a Tuesday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook, and I do believe we've had an Eric Scalavino sighting today. I know he's here. I know he's been in the locker room doing interviews earlier today, so if he's here, we'll have him on the program, which is not normally the case on a Tuesday, but hey, this may be an all-hands-on-deck type situation because the Patriots are in the AFC Championship game at Denver this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. Unbelievable. I'm not sure through everything that has been said, been done, all of the ups and the downs, the injuries, the superlatives. I just don't know if you can make a statement one way or the other definitively that you knew this was going to happen. In fact, I'd venture a guess and say that I don't think anybody knew that this was going to happen. Now, you may be a diehard Patriots fan, and you may have had faith in your Patriots, and you may have, you know, believed in Bill We Trust for the last 13 years, and Tom Brady is your boy. And I mean, that's okay. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. That's what fans are for. That's okay. But you have to realize with the guys on IR, and I realize there are other teams in similar situations, but the type of players that went down for New England this year, sounds like I'm getting ready to do a season in review here. And that's not it exactly. That's not it. Because I do think they have a very good chance this Sunday to get into the Super Bowl. But I just wanted to take a moment here off the top to sort of appreciate what we've all gone through this year. I didn't think this team would do this. And if this team had stayed healthy, and I'm talking about completely healthy, and maybe a lot, you know, obviously completely healthy is a relative term, maybe a couple of guys on IR and what have you. But let's say if they had had Wilfork and Gronkowski for starters, would they be in any different position? And the answer to that is no. The only difference might be you're playing this game at home as opposed to playing it in Denver, but that's minute at this stage of the game. It really is. So before we lose sight of it, and I'm sure we'll have a time to reflect, whether it's next week or in 3 weeks after the Super Bowl is over, we'll have an opportunity to sort of reflect back and decide how enjoyable this season really was. You know, Eric and I got into this argument last week about what success and failure really means, especially to a New England franchise that is used to winning. Now, this is 9 appearances in 13 years in the AFC Championship game. That's extraordinary. That's extraordinary. That's a run that even Patriot haters cannot deny is extraordinary. I don't know. I don't know how often that gets done ever again. To be quite honest. Okay, Eric is not coming in today. Okay. All right, well, then we won't see Eric this week. More on that later in the program. That's all right. So we'll be here, and we'll solo with you today. All right, so it is Tuesday, which means it's Nitpick Tuesday. Yes, I know you are, Kevin. And that, by the way, that's a great montage. Really, really good job. We might have to play that before the end of the show again. Give folks a chance if they want to record that. They can record it right on their computer. I definitely think there'll probably be some requests for that. So if you want to hear that again, send us the note or send Kevin the tweet or what have you. We'll play that again before the end of the show today. All right, so it is Tuesday, which means it's Nitpick Tuesday. I find that there's probably, in the overall scheme of things, very, very little to nitpick. But it is what we do on Tuesdays. And again, after getting hammered for this a couple of weeks ago by a couple of emailers, oh, you guys are too negative. You know, we counterbalance all the cheerleading. We just go the other way of the rah-rah stuff here to try to present a down the middle of the road point of view. That's all. And frankly, PFW, you know, those guys have done it as well. So I don't know where we're really that much different, to be quite honest with you. I do have a couple to pick with you today. I'm sure that you have your favorites. My number one nitpick, I think you might know, if you know me at all, if you follow me at all each of the last 13 years that we've done this program here on Patriots.com radio, you probably know where I might go with this. But my number one nitpick has to do with something that really had nothing to do with the overall scheme of the game and the overall feel of the game and the overall outcome of the game, but it still kind of drove me nuts when I saw it happen because I couldn't believe it. I kind of like blinked and shook my head, and I'm like, why is he out there? Tom Brady holding for extra points. I couldn't believe it. When Ryan Mallett held during the preseason, and Ryan Mallett was not a healthy scratch, and he was active, and why was he not out there? And I'm just, again, this is the veritable essence of the word nitpick. But Tom Brady holding, and I'm only saying this because last year, do we have to go too far away from last year when Rob Gronkowski hurt himself on an extra point try, which could have been nitpicked and was nitpicked to death a year ago? Do we have to go through this again? Now, fortunately, nothing happened. You know, and I absolutely love the whole, hey, do whatever it takes, whatever I got to do, philosophy of this team. Next man up philosophy has been as great this year, I think, as any other year that the Patriots have been playing, certainly since Bill Belichick has arrived. Because you've had significant season-ending injuries to starters. What, like 8 potential starters now gone out of 22 to start the year? That's extraordinary. Extraordinary. So why would you chance it again? that's all I'm asking. Why do you chance? I'll be interested to see how this thing plays out this week in practice when these guys return to the field. Now, they didn't practice today, in the sense that there wasn't any out in the field stuff, but because the time frame for this week might move itself up. And they might actually fly to Denver on Friday, and I know that's being discussed because of the time change and travel and all that kind of stuff. They might try to get out Friday afternoon as opposed to Saturday morning. Then that might very well mean that when they get out on the field tomorrow that they start tinkering with that again. Now, we don't know what Ryan Allen's status is, and, of course, on the snap that went over his head and, you know, and he fumbled and the ball got booted through the back of the end zone for his safety, and he apparently hurt his shoulder. I don't know if it was a collarbone or what have you. I guess that's what is being said anyway. I heard it on a couple of different platforms that there's still no decision on whether or not they bring in a free agent punter this week. I don't really have a problem with not bringing someone in and letting Steven Gostkowski kick, because I don't think he's at any greater risk punting the football than he really is trying a field goal. I would tell you that if the ball gets sailed over his head, he needs to just turtle and let it go. Now, of course, then again, you know, if they're in plus territory, the ball sails over his head, you might want to just boot it out of bounds, so the other team doesn't pick it up and run for a touchdown, because that's the kind of mistake that can absolutely murder you in the playoffs. And frankly, you know, if the Patriots hadn't already had, you know, a lead, then it could have killed them this last week. I think it was a lucky break that the ball got, you know, punched through the back of the end zone for just a safety rather than a touchdown. Otherwise, that could have changed the entire tenor and demeanor of the football game on Saturday night here. Patriots got lucky. I also think the Patriots, you know, forced their own breaks. And anytime you intercept the opposing quarterback four times, as the Patriots did, then you've got to feel like you're being proactive towards getting a W. You know, second play, first play of the game, whatever it was, with Alphonso Dennard and setting up the touchdown, the Patriots getting the lead early and quick, and still Indianapolis did not lay down. That's a credit to the Colts. You knew that they wouldn't. You knew that they wouldn't. And the reason you knew that they wouldn't is because they got down 38-10 the week before to Kansas City and came back and won that second greatest comeback of all time in playoff history. So, it doesn't surprise me that they put up a fight. Not at all. I think that's just the nature of who Indianapolis was this year. But the nature of the Patriots this year is the fact that they don't panic, that they don't get down to themselves, that they do have strong staying power in the end. Now that they're learning, it looks like to put the foot on the throat of an opponent late. Now that it certainly appears that they have a legitimate, damaging running game. Love the moniker Blunt Force Trauma, because that's exactly what LeGarrette Blunt is doing to opposing defenses right now. That's perfect. I think Zoe said that. Is he the first one to get credit for that?
Not really sure, but it's turning into T-shirts.
Yeah. Well, it's true. It's true. Blunt force trauma. That's all you got to say.
I know Zoe. I've noticed Zoe, you know how he said the where's the beef thing after the New Orleans game?
Oh, yeah.
He's carried that through to now. Because I guess it kind of fits Blunt when he's like running.
Why doesn't he change it, though, to, you know, instead of saying where's the beef, why doesn't he say here's the beef?
Here's the beef, something like that. Yeah.
Because that would be more appropriate now.
Yeah, I think after one run, I think the big run he busted in the Buffalo game, he goes like, get that boy some beef.
Yeah. Well, no, you should say here's the beef. Here's the beef. And the beef is coming. And you know, LeGarrette Blunt.
The beef?
Yeah, no question. Anyway.
He deserves some beef.
I know. I'm just trying to help him out. Just trying to help them both out. So there's the first nitpick I've got for you. You take it for what it is, one way or the other. If you like it, you dislike it, much ado about nothing, but that's again what we do here on Tuesdays. We nitpick. Is there anything that you saw from the game on Saturday night that you feel like might not stand very well playing in Denver this week? In other words, certainly, I thought that Brady being in there to hold for extra points, it won't set very well. And if I'm a Denver Bronco, let me tell you something. If I saw Brady in there holding, I'm doing whatever I can to get in that backfield and dive and make a play because, you know, I'm all about winning. I want to win the game. I want to go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to do whatever I can within the rules of the game to get there. If that means taking a roughing penalty, well, that's what I'm going to do. But I'm going after it. That would give me more motivation on kick returns and on kick defense, special teams defense than I would ever have under normal circumstances. And I'm saying this as someone who doesn't even play the game, but I would completely and totally go, whoa, look at this. I'm going. Snap it. Let's go. So I don't know. That would certainly change my philosophy. How much do you think the game in November, which the Patriots, of course, came from back from the dead as well to win it in overtime 34-31 here at Gillette, how much does that game play a factor into this one in your estimation? A lot, a little, or none at all? Tell me why you think a lot. Tell me why you think a little. Tell me why you think none at all. I'll give you my thoughts on that coming up in a couple of moments, but in all honesty, it is what each team has to go by. But on the other end, this is the postseason, and the postseason is a different beast unlike any other. I don't know that you, I mean, other than to look for tendencies and to look for particular, well, really tendencies more than anything else. You know, I don't think you really look at superlative performances one way or the other, only because you feel like, well, if it went against you, you're going to correct the mistakes and you're going to be ready for it the next time. And if it went for you, well, you got to feel like the other team's also going to make adjustments. So you might look at tendencies, but I don't think you put a lot of credit into it. So I'd be interested to know how you feel the 34-31 win back in November will have an effect on Sunday's rematch, with quotation marks around it, in Denver. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. Toll-free telephone number 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And then there's a couple of ways to get us on social media. You know what they are, but I'll repeat them anyway. @JRBroadcaster, the Twitter handle. Thank you very much for those that have followed. @JRBroadcaster and John.Rook on Facebook. All right, so that's where we are, at least initially here, to kind of open up. And whether or not you feel like this is much ado about nothing or it has everything to do with this team and in its performance from back in November, and this game means everything. So let's do this. Let's get in a quick timeout here, and I'm going to come back and get in some emails because I know we've got emails coming in. I want you to send in those tweets as well. This is a great opportunity, especially if you've never had the chance to call into the program. It's just like a regular sports talk radio program. We're not going to bite your head off. There's no right or wrong answers here. But at the same time, this is a great opportunity. If you've never had the chance to pick up the phone and visit, this is the chance to do it. I will tell you that because I've got other work commitments this week with my college basketball duties. I've got to travel, which will take me out of the studio here tomorrow and Thursday. But we will have a playbook tomorrow and Thursday. Chris Price from WEEI.com is going to cover the program tomorrow in the playbook, he's been a guest on before on this program. And those of you that follow him on WEEI.com as a Patriot supporter know that he does a fantastic job, very thorough job. And then Eric Friends, who writes for Boston.com, amongst others, and does an AFC East daily blog. He's going to host the program. He hosted, in fact, when I was away in November, and he's going to host the program here on Thursday this week. So Chris Price in tomorrow, Eric Friends in the playbook on Thursday. And then win or lose, next Tuesday, I'll be back here in the playbook. Now, if you win, of course, we'll have a full week of programming, and we'll start setting up the Super Bowl. If we lose, we always do a wrap-up program, and I will be here again next Tuesday. So it's not like this is the last time I will talk to you this year, but it is an opportunity here while we're still playing. If you've got questions on this team, if you've got questions on the injuries, if you've got questions on tendencies, if you have questions on the Broncos, I still want your thoughts on whether or not you think the game one between the Broncos and Patriots means anything at all for game two. Also, I have some thoughts to share with you on Brandon Spikes and his going on the injured reserve list. We've got nitpicks to get to today. I've already shared one with you. If you've come up with any others, now's the time. Web radio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500. Toll free in the playbook. Return in a moment.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that Do Not Disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit GotToGetFios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Really not too many things sucky, sucky, sucky about getting into the AFC Championship game, but that's what we do. We tear it down as best as anybody can around here inside the playbook on a Tuesday. John Rook here with you on Patriots.com Radio, 855-PATS-500. Pats and the Broncos coming up this Sunday after a 43-22 win over Indianapolis here at Gillette this past Saturday. And of course, the Broncos holding off the San Diego Chargers 24-17, to where the Patriots now will travel to Denver rather than get the home game. You know, San Diego, by the way, just kind of dug themselves too big a hole. I mean, you kind of pull them for them a little bit because you'd love to be able to have the AFC Championship game again here in New England. Didn't quite work out that way. But, you know, all things being equal, I don't have any real problem with the final four teams left standing in the NFL. Don't you really feel like maybe this year more so than any other in recent memory that the best four teams in the NFL are the last four teams standing? You can certainly make a case for a couple of others. You wondered with all of the injuries that, you know, transpired over the course of the year that if the Patriots, you know, were they even one of the top four? And frankly, let's remember now, kids, let's remember that the Patriots were out of most of those quote unquote power rankings that the, web sites and services, put out, you know, ranking the NFL teams 1 through 32 every week. They were out of the top five most of the season, if I'm not mistaken. I'd love for somebody, because I didn't think about it until it was too late this afternoon. I'd love for somebody to go back through all of the power rankings that you can find and count the times that the Patriots were actually in the top five. Considered to be one of the five best in the NFL. Now, out of the top four, I would say that had to be an overwhelming majority of the season. They might have snuck in as a five, you know, for maybe half the year. It's probably close. But I think that just kind of shows you what the general perception of the Patriots was outside of New England. An okay team, a nice team, too hurt by injuries, they're going to lose. They're going to fall. They're going to fail. And this team kept riding that attitude right through to 12 wins, a fifth straight AFC East division title, a home playoff win, and a third straight AFC title game. 9 in the last 13 years. Say what you want to about having lost the last couple of Super Bowls or not having won one since 04, but frankly, you know, I know this has been debated on local radio here, and I'm not sure how much of it has been done nationally, so I'll kind of include it here for the time being. But I would ask you, as a fan, in addition to your nitpicks today and whether or not you feel like, you know, the first game between Denver means anything, means a little, or means nothing this week. Those are two questions that are on the table for you here. But I would ask you, when you look at this New England football team, well, I got things buzzing left and right here. Okay, hold on just a second. Let me make sure that I got that. Okay. And we got to make sure that we got this. Okay, everything's up now. All right, it wasn't working a second ago. Now it is. So everything's back. All right, good, good, good. All right, you know what? Hold the thought. Let me get to the phone calls here and also to some of the emails because I want to start reading these out in hopes that you guys will play along here. Dave in Connecticut, you're going to lead it off in the playbook today. Hello, Dave.
Hey, John. How you doing today?
I'm good today. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I mean, could be happier, you know. Just like you're saying that, you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, being a diehard fan, you always hope you're in the Final Four and, you know, Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, Dave, since you brought it up, yeah, hold on just a second. Since you brought it up, I'm going to ask the question, and you can respond to it, and then we'll get others to respond to it as well. But, you know, considering where this team has gone over the last 13 years now, nine AFC titles, let me ask you one way or the other. Would you rather be in the mix every year, which clearly is the philosophy of this team, of this program, of this organization? They want to be in the mix every year. Would you rather have what we have now, or would you rather have them go for broke to have maybe won another Super Bowl somewhere, or, in other words, go for broke this year? So do you like being competitive every year, or do you wish they would go for broke to win another title? That's really where I'm going with
it. Okay, you know, as a fan, I love the fact that we're competitive every year, okay? That, you know, from the beginning of the year, like I might have said this to you before, you know, and said this online before, you know, beginning of the year, every team starts 0-0, and every team is like, you know, hey, we have a shot to win the Super Bowl. Every year for the past 10, 11, 12 years, New England has had a legitimate shot. Not just, it's just not words, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone in the league knows the Patriots are going to be there toward the end. Okay, whether you like them, you love them, or hate them, they're going to be there. Because that's the quality team and product they put out. As a fan, I love that. I don't want to be there every, you know, have a shot every 4 years or whatever. I want to be in the race every year. And I think the organization does what it needs to do to stay there. You know, and this year to me, it has that feel of the, of 01. It really does. You know, I think when you talk what this team is all about, to see Dennard on that play rip that ball on that interception,
mm-hmm.
that reminded me of Teddy Bruschi taking it away from Andrew and James.
Yeah.
That playoff game.
Yeah.
You know, the want to.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, if that's the one thing you're going to say about this team, it has that want to. It does. It's a scrappy team. Okay. And you know, I, for one, there's been, you know, polls that have been put out, you know, saying, who would you want to face in the AFC Championship? I want Denver. I want to go through the best. Okay. I want, you know, I'm, and I said this before, I know the Brady, to me, you know, I'll take Tom Brady over Peyton Manning 100% of the time. And I have debates with, you know, other fans, and I'll say, guess what? The bottom line is the head-to-head. Tom Brady is 10, you know, 10, every time they've met 14 times, Brady's won 10 of those times.
Mm-hmm.
Brady's, you know, in the AFC Championship, 2-1. You know, Peyton can have all the records. Brady has all the gold.
Well, you know, you're going a direction that, you know, was something that I was going to try a little bit later, but again, I'll bring it up now since you brought it up. So, Dave, you're reading my mind here, brother. Who is this a bigger legacy game for? Is it Manning or is it Brady?
You know, I think all the pressure is on Manning, because if he loses this, you know, because if he loses this game, just like one of the headlines I read when they beat the Superchargers was, you know, the Broncos hold on, you know, near failed complete collapse against the Chargers because they gave up the 17 points in the fourth quarter and the Chargers made a game of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Brady has, with the three rings and with his accomplishments, okay, in the postseason, has cemented himself. Now, I'm not saying anything bad about Manning. Manning is a great quarterback and one of the best ever. Okay? But it comes down to, like, the Joe Montana, Dan Marino conversation. Okay? You don't hear Marino's name being put as one of the best ever, but yet, at one time or another in his career, he held just about every quarterback stat record there was. You know, yardage-wise, touchdown-wise, this, that. He could never win the big game. So I think all the pressure is on the Broncos here. Okay.
Okay.
I know they lost Harrison, that cornerback. It's going to hurt. You know, I love the fact that, you know, we've been preaching the running game all year, you know, having to run the ball. And let me tell you something. Right now, New England's a beast. It's a dangerous team. Okay. With this running game, we're not one dimensional because Brady can still kill you. All right.
Yeah.
And you know, it makes us so much dangerous, you know, having this combination of Blunt and Ridley. And here's another thing that kind of like really it shows me something about this team. The unselfishness, okay, of a Stephen Ridley who, you know, hey, wait a minute, I'm a starting running back. You know, why am I not starting?
Well, Ridley's kind of he's kind of addressed that. He knows that he kind of put himself in this position because of the fumble problem.
He said, you know, I've heard his comments saying, you know, hey, I get my touches. You know what I mean? And in a million years, who would have thought New England put up 43 points and Tom Brady not throw a touchdown?
Yeah, that's truly one of the amazing things I think about this past weekend, that they can score six touchdowns and all of them be rushing touchdowns. That's amazing.
Exactly. And you know something? You don't see Tom Brady sitting there pouting or, you know, saying anything. He went there and Brady had an efficient job. He did his job.
Of course.
When it was time to move the ball through the year,
of course.
He moved the ball.
That's right. And you would expect nothing less. Now, let me ask you the other question. The original question was, how much of a factor is game one between Denver and New England for this one this weekend?
I think it's, you know, when you get to the tournament, it's 0-0. But I think it's going to weigh on Denver's mind that, you know, New England came back, scored the 24 points, you know, played, because the game was like a game of two different games. You know, we were very sloppy in the first half of that game with the turnovers and not being able to move the ball. And then Denver had a couple of turnovers in the second half. So, you know, I think that it weighs more in Denver's mind than it does New England's. Just like, I know I'm jumping the gun here. Just say, like, if we were to have to face the 49ers again in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as good as their defense is, that game that we played against them, you know, in Foxborough, we were able to move the ball. Even though we lost the game, you know, we were able to score on the 49ers. So the 49ers don't necessarily scare me, their defense.
Right.
All right, and it's the same thing. You know, we were able to hold Peyton to 31 points in the game, and yeah, I'll score him. Okay, and I think, you know, like I beg to say, I think all the probably, you know, I love being the underdog here, I really do, and I know, you know, that the Belichick is going to use that as motivation for these guys.
Sure. I'm sure that will be the case. Yeah. They always do. In fact, that was something that was the rule rather than the exception, of course, in probably to around 2006, which was the last time they played one on the road and the last time they were an underdog like that. So, yeah, I agree with that. Dave, thank you very much for the phone call. Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Hello, Big Al.
Hey, fellas. How you doing, John?
Excellent.
What's happening? Jeez, this is something. Do you realize, John, and I follow the Patriots pretty carefully, this whole Belichick-Brady era has just been such a blur that I had lost track. You know, you tend to keep track of Super Bowls, and you don't really keep track of the AFC Championship games, although you should.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the eighth one of these. This is unbelievable, man. This is the eighth AFC Championship game in this era.
Ninth in 13 years.
I don't think nobody's going to match that for a long time.
It would be an incredible one.
How can the Patriots pull this off and year after year? And I heard John Madden say something earlier this year that I thought was interesting. I think even though You know, I hate the fact that his Raiders beat us in 76. You know, it still bothers me to this day. But you got to respect the guy as being knowledgeable about football. And he knows how to talk to fans, I think, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, you know, that it is true that he thinks that the league is becoming a next man up league. But that oftentimes the next man up wasn't very good. I think with the Patriots, I guess you could say that our next men up must be X percent better than a lot of the other teams' next men up, if it truly is a next man up league.
Well,
and everybody's dealing with injury.
Yeah, that's an interesting point of view. I guess you'd have to say that that's probably the case, because you have to realize that, first of all, a team like Denver has lost a lot of players. I mean, they lost Clady.
Right.
They lost Raheem Moore. They lost Vickerson, the tackle. They lost Derek Wolfe, the defensive end. They lost Von Miller.
Yep.
They've lost Woodyard. They've lost Thomas. They've lost Welker for at least long stretches this year. And now they've lost...
They accidentally lost Duberville.
Right.
They didn't really want to lose Duberville, and
nope.
They lost him, but not injury, but they lost him by some kind of paperwork thing.
And now they've lost Chris Harris, who arguably has been their best defensive back all year long. Now they've lost him to an ACL. So Denver is got to be right there in terms of significant injuries with the Patriots. The only difference here is that they get this one at home and the Patriots have to travel.
You know, and last year I was genuinely conflicted, because as an old school Pats fan, you never want to play in Denver. But then I was thinking, well, if the Denver loses and the Ravens win, then they got that payback factor coming to Foxborough, and you know, I guess that's kind of how that worked out. I almost wish we played at Denver last year in hindsight, being 2020, but I'm kind of glad we're playing them this year. Kind of makes up for last year when they choked that game to the Ravens, and we ended up playing Baltimore in Foxborough. I'd almost rather play them out there. And you know, if we get any kind of weather at all, if it ends up being one of these quirks in the weather, and it's 75 degrees and sunny, you know, on Sunday, because that's the conditions, then I guess I give Denver, you know, a better chance. But if it's any kind of crappy weather at all, I really like our chances.
I don't know that I'd go so far as to say that I would rather play them in Denver. But I would tell you that, in all honesty, I'm not intimidated by this. And I think it's, even though that they've got a, you know, Brady has got a losing record out there. It's one of the two venues that he holds a losing record on in the league.
Okay.
I would tell you that just from the way that this team has played, and because they really shouldn't be where they are, why not New England? That's really the only reason I can give you, to be honest.
Yep. Now, as far as nitpicks from last week, and this is, again, you're going to shake your head, John, because I know how I am, John. And, you know, being old school and a dinosaur and everything else, you know, these things tend to jump out at me, and maybe I just need to get on board with, you know, with sort of postmodern football.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, get my butt out of Fenway Park with the Boston Patriots or whatever. But, you know... we got a 14-point lead. The Collins kid intercepts the ball. There's about 12 minutes to go in the game. We've got it deep in their territory. Really, already, even on a rainy night, we're already in Stevens' range, I'm convinced. We got around the 20-yard line of Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling that in his range. You know, maybe somebody else would disagree, but... anyway, I think it's you're easily within his range, even on a bad night.
Sure.
And even when he's having to punt the ball and everything else.
Sure.
But look, we've got the ball at the with 12 minutes to go. I think it's a 20, 22, 23-yard line right in there, the low 20s. We're running all over these people. Mm-hmm. LeGarrette Blount is having the game of his life. If anything screams to you, hand the ball off, Tom.
Yeah.
That's the situation that screams. It doesn't just whisper it. It doesn't just tell you. It screams it at you, John.
Yeah, I agree.
And hand the ball off. Start the clock. You're running the ball anyway.
Well, that's what they did.
We're trying to wrap this thing up. Hand the ball off, Tom.
He did.
No, he did not. I'm sorry, John. Look at the tape. He faked it. He had a play action pass roll out. Spikes it in the ground.
Oh, so you're being nitpicky here. Okay, that's fine.
The next play, he throws it in the end zone. A guy comes up with one hand for the Colts, almost intercepts it. By this point, you know, Big Al is starting to really scratch his head. What are we doing?
Now we're referring to ourselves in the third person?
What are we doing?
I love it. Okay. All right.
I figure if Bo Jackson can do it, I can do it.
God, now we're comparing ourselves to Bo Jackson. Bo knows. We should say this. Al knows.
I would never do that. Certainly, I think his wallet looks a little better than mine.
Al knows. I like it. All right, Big Al, let's approach the questions this week. Number one, will game one between Denver and New England have anything to do with this week?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
It never does. And I say that. I thought that last week San Diego might be a little motivated considering that they had just played there. The last Denver home game before this game this weekend was against San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
That was their last team that they hosted was the same team they played over the weekend. And San Diego had won that game. They're coming into the playoff game like a 10-point underdog. I thought maybe that would give San Diego a little bit of the Rodney Harrison, nobody respects us, chip on the shoulder thing going into it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it did, but it just didn't work out. Maybe Denver's just a better team.
Okay.
But I don't think the Patriots played long enough ago with Denver, and that was a turnover festival for both teams. The Pats really kind of lucked out. I don't know. I think it's going to be a lot, again, depending on weather conditions, I think you're looking at a lot less scoring in this game. I would take the under.
Okay. Take the under.
So, to answer your question, no, I don't think that has much to do with it at all.
All right. And as far as a legacy game is concerned, who is it better for? Who does it mean more for, Manning or Brady?
Well, it means more for Manning, obviously. He has got this under 500 playoff record. He's got all these one and dones. You can criticize the Ursa guy out at Indianapolis and for saying what he said, but all he did was speak the truth. Now his dad was kind of a fool, but the younger Ursa seems like he's got his crap together, and he engineered a beautiful transition from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, which is going to work out for them. But no, to answer your question, it means a lot more to Manning. Because he needs another Super Bowl. He's only got one, which he ought to shake Bob Sanders' hands for that. Yeah. He ought to give half of his Super Bowl ring to Bob Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
If Bob Sanders doesn't come back, Peyton Manning isn't playing any kind of... Peyton Manning's got no Super Bowls if Bob Sanders doesn't come back and play defense.
Sure.
So, it means a lot more, certainly, to Manning than it does. And you're almost playing at home. It's almost more pressure on him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on this new team.
Yep.
He's playing at home. He's got to win, you know, and doesn't win. I mean, he goes right down the dumper. It's like an all or nothing thing. Whereas Brady, I think, is just kind of trucking along. Now, I've got my criticisms for Tom Brady as a quarterback, as I've just enunciated. But as far as his legacy is solid. He's a first ballot, unanimous Hall of Fame quarterback.
And Manning's not?
Not unanimous, I don't think.
Oh, come on, Al. Really? Are you serious?
No.
Oh, Al.
I am serious.
Al.
Well, what if he loses?
Al. Oh, Al, come on. I'm sorry, buddy. That's just, you got to go on that one. Really? He doesn't think Manning is a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer.
Omaha! Omaha!
He's a Hall of Famer in Omaha right now, isn't he? Goodness, Al. Look at his numbers.
Short Ox, Richmond, Florida, Buffalo. Short Ox, Richmond, Florida, Buffalo.
Oh, my goodness. Al, you had me at hello. Here's Jefferson in Salt Lake City. Jefferson, you're in the playbook.
John, long time no talk to you. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, man. And in true fashion, I get a follow of my favorite caller. So,
you know, I love Al because he's so opinionated. He could probably host his own show, but boy, every once in a while he throws up something that just makes you scratch your head.
Gronk probably had these dudes nailing him since he was in 11th grade.
No question.
I'm telling you, plain and simple, it's amazing to me that this guy can even dial the phone with some of the crazy pills he must be taking. Manning, not a unanimous.
Oh, my.
Get out of here.
The only difference between Peyton and Tom, Peyton's got a little better regular season numbers overall, but Tom's got the rings, and that's what it all boils down to, which is why, at least in my estimation, that certainly this game means more in terms of the overall legacy for Peyton Manning than it does for Tom Brady. But it doesn't mean nothing for Brady. Brady could, in my estimation, Jefferson, could go down as the single greatest quarterback to ever play in the National Football League with one more, maybe two more, but certainly he's got to get one more Super Bowl ring.
Well, plain and simple, that's exactly what I'm talking about is, you know, I mean, you talk to either of these quarterbacks, and they're not right now concerned with their legacy. They're concerned about the next game. You know, they'll worry about their legacy when they hang up their cleats. But I agree. I mean, yeah, Peyton Manning, if he loses, you know, come Sunday, obviously it's just going to add to that that thought that, you know, he's a playoff choker. But yeah, I mean, I don't think you can weigh whose legacy is more important based on this game, because yeah, Peyton needs to get more Super Bowls, you know, when you look at the long, you know, end game picture. But for Tom Brady to go to his sixth Super Bowl, six.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And if he wins, then he's up there with, you know, in terms of, you know, his Super Bowl rings, he's Bradshaw and Montana. And I mean, you just, there's no way. I mean, he's already in the conversation as one of the greatest quarterbacks, if not the greatest quarterback that's ever played the game. You give him as many Super Bowl rings as Joe Montana, plus an additional two more appearances. Get out of here.
Yeah, I think that's honestly right now you can put, I mean, the quarterback that I put up on the pedestal, I mean, it's probably unfair to do this because there's been a lot of great quarterbacks, but because he's got, you know, the combination of savvy and guile and the stats and the rings, it's got to be Montana. And so if you put Brady and his rings up there on that pedestal with Montana, and Brady's numbers are better than Joe's, well, then doesn't that mean Brady shouldn't be above Joe Montana overall?
I agree.
And that's what I'm saying. He could be the all-time greatest to have ever played the game with just one more.
And quite frankly, with the numbers, it's no longer an argument, in my opinion. I mean, right now it's an argument. You know, he wins one more, and I just don't think you can really have any kind of strong argument against it because of the success that he's shown. And not to mention the fact that you look at the roster that he's played with this year and the detrimental injuries that he's had to deal with. I mean, it's insane to think about what he has done as a quarterback. Now, granted, he hasn't done it by himself. It's just, you know, it's a team sport. But still, to be able to get the job done time and time again, not to mention the late quarter comebacks that he has had this year, I've been beside myself just in awe of the strength of will that this team has had. And I know that it's been said, and I know I'm probably beating a dead horse, but the grit that this team shows, I don't think we've seen for over a decade. And just to be able to, you know, I mean, almost look at it as a team of destiny. But I mean, you look at the high powered offenses that we had in 2007, 2012, you know, 2009, and to, you know, to see us falter when it really mattered with the, you know, the big guns, you know, you go back to 2001, 2003, 2004, when we won those championships, we weren't the all top-powered offenses. And I really think that that's going to end up being the Achilles heel for Denver. You know, quite frankly, this game, to me, coming up on Sunday, is a toss-up. I really think that the Patriots, I think coming from an underdog standpoint, I think that gives them a little bit of an advantage, because I will say that Peyton's got a hell of a lot more pressure than Brady does on this game.
Yeah.
You know, quite frankly, I'm insanely excited to see the game. Can't wait to see it. I mean, how many more opportunities are we going to be able to see Brady and Manning face off? Not to mention an AFC championship game. This is like football porn this weekend. quite frankly, it's going to be one of the greatest football weekends. I mean, even you look at the NFC championship game. What a game that's going to be.
Yeah, should
and,
be.
You know, to see new school versus old school, regardless of who wins in these games, it's just, we're in for a treat as fans. There is one more difference between Brady and Manning that I think it's necessary to bring up. Manning looks like a foot, and Tom Brady is the most beautiful player in the game. So I think that's always got to be brought up. The Manning brothers. not the prettiest of boys. But you know, I mean, for, honestly, I love Peyton Manning. I really do. Obviously, I'm rooting for my, you know, my boys and Brady. What a hell of a game we're in store for, and it's one way or the other. It's going to be an incredible thing to watch, and we all get to watch history.
Does the game in November have any bearing on this one?
Absolutely, it does. Absolutely, it does. I think anybody who says it has no bearing is out of their mind. To be able to play the same team in the same year, you know that team better. Plain and simple, you know that team better to some degree. Now, is the outcome going to be the same? Absolutely not. I mean, there are different factors, but you gotta think that it's, you know, I mean, both teams are gonna have, you know, a little bit more knowledge. I mean, that's why we play our divisional opponents twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why those games are always a toss-up, because you know those teams. And those teams, they change every year too. So, you know, you've gotta play those, you know, a new team, you know, every year, but to be able to play this team again, I think both teams are, you know, gonna have an advantage as far as knowledge. We're certainly going to have more opportunity to know this team, their strengths, their weaknesses, a lot more than San Francisco or Seattle, who we didn't have a chance to play this year.
Right. All right.
But is it going to affect the outcome? No, I don't think so.
No. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I mean, I think that, a lot, a little, or none at all, it probably would be, I'd have to come down probably in the middle and say, it'll be a little bit, only from what you just mentioned, that the teams can get tendencies from each other. But a lot, no, because we all know that the outcome is not going to be the same. None at all, well, that's a little ignorant, actually, only because, sure, the teams are going to look at each other and they're going to recognize tendencies. And they're going to game plan for such. So it probably means a little, only because it helps them prepare. You know, the familiarity, I think, will certainly be a huge factor. But then again, both teams are also missing players that were in that game back in November.
Exactly. And also one thing to remember, and I think this is a distinct advantage for New England, is we know that we're never out of the game against these guys.
That's also true.
You've got to think that that's itching in the back of the minds of the Denver players, is that we had that game. We had that game sewn up in New England, and these guys came back and slapped us in the face.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, to have that gnawing in the back of your memory, they can't let up at all, and New England's got to know no matter what, we're never out of this game.
And, of course, I also think there's something to Wes Welker, you know, muffing the punt and the Patriots, you know, getting the field goal to win it, because, quite frankly, that game was headed to an overtime tie.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I know destiny is, you know, kind of sometimes plays a factor. Wouldn't it be insane if the Denver Broncos were trying to milk the clock on a 4-minute drive at the end of the game,
yeah,
and all they need is a third and seven and Manning throws to Welker and he
absolutely
drops the ball like he did in the last Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I know.
Sweet poetic justice would that be? I mean, I love Wes, and I'm not rooting for him to fail at all. I mean, truly, you know, I'm in Salt Lake City. I am in the midst of Denver mania out here. You know, everybody out here and their, you know, and their dog or Denver fans. But there's a lot to like about that team. But you know, honestly, if I had to pick the game, it's so tough, man. But honestly, I think the Patriots are going to pull it out. I really do. I think that it's too poetic. I think the Patriots coming and winning it all with all the, you know, adversity that they've faced, it just feels right to me. Whereas, you know, in 2007, all year, I was waiting for the foot to drop and, you know, and it's just, you know, and then obviously it did. But, I don't know. It's just, sometimes things just feel right, and
you know,
that's the way it feels like.
That's a great point, because we've been talking about, you know, what could be a team of destiny, and we were talking last week about how San Diego might be the team of destiny. Why not New England being the team of destiny because of all the adversity that they've had to come through? I will certainly buy that one from you, no question.
And when was the last time New England's been the underdog?
2006.
Yep. Last time, and who did they lose to in the AFC Championship game?
Indianapolis.
There you go. So, that's something as well, you know, that last time Peyton and Brady faced each other in the AFC Championship game, you know, Brady got his heart broken by Manning, you know, in the last second.
There will be motivation. There will be motivation. And believe me, because this is the first time they've been a dog in 8 years like this. I definitely know that the old chip on the shoulder will be a familiar friend, and I think we'll be revisited in that locker room down the hallway here. Jefferson,
absolutely.
Great to talk to you, my man. Thank you.
You too, John. You too. Take care.
All right. He brings up a very interesting question that I'm going to ask each of you as we're now well into hour number two inside the playbook. But this is another question to kind of add to the fold today. See if anybody, you know, wants to jump into this. Bringing up Wes Welker, as we did, and the fact that he was a significant factor in game one along those lines, will game one's result have any bearing at all on the rematch on the AFC title game this Sunday in Denver? Whether you think it will, a little, a lot, or not at all. How do you feel the entire L'Affaire Welker has turned out for New England? Patriots decided to not re-sign him, to let him go. They brought in Danny Amendola. They've obviously utilized Julian Edelman very well. And there are so many of you that you got to admit it. You got to admit it to yourself now, right here, right now, because I'll admit it. I thought the Patriots had screwed up royally, and we talked about it early in this season. As this season got underway, I thought the Patriots had made a bad mistake in letting Welker go when they did, because he looked like he still had, you know, tread left on the tire, so to speak. And while I think my druthers would be, I'd druther have Welker still in there, I'm not at all disappointed with what has transpired, because Julian Edelman has turned out better than I think anybody could have expected in their wildest dreams, in their wildest expectations. The jury is still very much out on Danny Amendola, but when you put Amendola and Edelman together, they've more than made up for, I think, whatever they would have missed with Wes Welker. Agree? Disagree? How do you feel the Patriots have bounced back from letting Welker go? 855-PATS-500. Email webradio@patriots.com, @JRBroadcaster on Twitter. Bill's in New York. Hello, Bill. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, Bill.
First time on this year, so Happy New Year's, and hope you had a good holiday.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Thanks for giving us a buzz today.
I'll respond to your question before I get to my point that I wanted to bring up, and that is, I think Amendola and Edelman have been fantastic, and I don't think they had the same luxury that Wes had, because Wes, throughout his career, and trust me, I mean, we are diehard Wes fans out here,
mm-hmm.
but he had Gronkowski and Hernandez, and they split up, and they had all the advantage of the spread out offense that these guys haven't. These guys got put into a place where come on board and perform right away, because that's what we need right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Wes had a bigger advantage than these guys have. And then my other comparison would be, isn't it funny that Wes doesn't have the 100 receptions and 1,000 yards, but Amendola or Edelman picked that up this year?
Yep.
So I think I think they're working into their place, but I think these guys have performed absolutely amazing, considering that they were put into a scenario, you know, again, and it's hashing old news now, but coming in the beginning of the season, losing Hernandez that way, and we didn't have Gronkowski, and, you know, I mean, these guys got put under huge pressure, and it wasn't an easy road for them.
So, Bill, let me ask you then, do you feel like if you had a do-over, that you wouldn't do over, that you're telling me if you knew what was coming with Edelman and Amendola combined, you'd be okay with Welker leaving?
I miss Wes. I'd really still like to see him on the roster, but I don't think that it affected the team's performance. In the long run, and I think you guys even brought this up, in the short term, yes, it is going to affect you. It did those first couple games. We all were biting our nails at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
We won some games. I'm a firm believer there is no game that you won that, oh, you shouldn't have won that one, because you wouldn't have,
mm-hmm.
you know. But these guys, you only have to win by 1 point. That's, and, you know, that's what it comes down to. And these guys, they weren't pretty wins, but these guys were together. They got through it, and they took, you know, they took the season away, and they ended up the season where people gave them credit that they should.
Right, right.
You know?
Totally agree with that.
Another point for Denver this weekend, I feel very positive going into it. They just lost their corner this last weekend, and he's not going to – Chris Harris, is it?
Yes, Chris Harris.
He went out with his knee. We've lost all of our star players, and every one of us just cowered into our collars and said, oh, no, the season's done. And then we watched the team develop and build and adapt. And I can't, for them guys to lose Miller and Harris in the last couple of weeks versus the beginning of the season, that's going to be a big challenge for Denver to overcome, seeing how we're two different teams from when we met earlier in the season, you know. And anyone that says, well, you know, losing Gronk, he was a big part of the game. How many games has Gronk caught? Four touchdown passes the way Blount ran four touchdowns in this weekend.
Right.
So we're a completely different team. The team's very adaptable. And they grew, as a team, they grew in that adaption mode. So I have a very positive feeling that these guys are really going to give it their all. And one team has to lose. So to be where we are, and I think Tom Brady said it last time, I'm just going to enjoy the fact that we're where the last four teams that go, that's where you got to celebrate. And
right.
I think we'll be celebrating Sunday myself.
Well, I think you're taking it very, very well. I think you're taking it the way that it should be taken, but you know, it's hard for me to tell somebody how to take it. I think you're going about it the right way, without a doubt. You know, looking at it as a gift and trying not to take it for granted, so to speak. Bigger legacy game, Bill, for Manning or for Brady?
I in the long-term standings, I think this is much bigger for Manning. I will never take away his, I mean, the guy is absolutely phenomenal, and what he's done has changed the sport. But, you know, I think Brady's established a legacy with three Super Bowl rings. Just to be in the playoffs so many times, you know, the championship, never mind the playoffs, they'll now go to the championship level. I don't think there's really much that you can say about Brady. He's so good. Nobody else, no other teams like him. We wouldn't like him if he wasn't a Patriot.
That's know? True. Yeah, that's right. And then one more. Does the game back in November have any bearing on this game Sunday?
I think the teams are too different at this point. Other than the players saying to themselves, because the players telling themselves in the locker room that, yeah, this is that, you know, and this and that. But that's minor to me because these are two completely different teams. And the Broncos, they'll come out. The thing that's getting me right now, everyone's talking like Brady can't pass because he didn't. You know, and I don't see that at all. I see the next two games, and that's the way I feel. The next two games Brady's in, the fake option pass is going to be huge for him.
Yeah, right, right.
You know? And yep. I do. I honestly believe. I also had a really good offer that if they're in the Super Bowl, I live up east of Albany, right on the Steventown border. I was the one that, it's funny that Jefferson was just on. I was the one that we were going
to. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. That's crazy.
And he never made it. He never made it to us, but we had a bunch of stuff for him. But that's okay, too.
Jefferson, and, you blew it. You blew it, buddy. What can I tell you?
Well, for his birthday, I had an extra box of the collectible Gronk Flake box I was going to give him for his birthday, but not making it. I didn't get to give it to him.
Oh, so. My goodness.
But I had an offer from a friend of mine that
decided
to get into the Super Bowl.
It took it anyway, right?
Tickets, and we're going down to MetLife. So
nice. That's outstanding. That's great. Fantastic. Hopefully, then you'll have your team to root for there.
That's what we're going to try for.
Nice. Good all stuff, right, Bill. Yeah. Great to hear from you. Thank you, sir.
All right. You have a great day.
You too. Bill in New York. By the way, I just want you know, those of you who are frequent listeners to the program need to know that Big Al is not happy with us. He's upset. Apparently, he called back and he yelled at Kevin, and he said he wanted to have. He said he
I'm
told Kevin
a bystander in all this.
I know, but he told you that I needed to look up the word unanimous.
Yeah, he wants you to read the definition
of the word unanimous. Yeah. The word unanimous, and this isn't one of Eric's words of the day, but the word unanimous means everyone, right? Am I pretty close with that? And I think everyone, Al, that's just it. Everyone thinks that Peyton Manning is a first ballot Hall of Famer, except you. So I guess maybe that's why it's unanimous.
It's two or more people in full agreement is what it is.
Two or more in full agreement.
United in full agreement.
Well, see, Al sort of contradicted himself there then because he says, well, he thinks Peyton's a Hall of Famer. Well, if he's a Hall of Famer, if you think he is, then why wouldn't he be good enough to get in on the first ballot? I don't understand the thinking there. Why? Because he doesn't have enough rings? I mean, Dan Marino didn't have any rings, and he got in on the first ballot, so I don't get it.
So basically, Al's saying that if, just for argument's sake, because I don't know how many ballots there are for the Hall of Fame, but let's use round numbers just to make it easy. Say, okay. If there are 100 ballots out there, Al is saying that not all 100 would vote for Peyton his first time up.
His first year of eligibility, and you're telling me that not all 100 will vote.
That's what Al's saying. So mm-hmm. I'm just paraphrasing, I think, for what
I suppose that could happen. I will allow for that. But I would tell you that the people that don't vote for him on the first ballot need to have their ballots removed.
It's sort of like when the Baseball Hall of Fame had theirs last week. You remember
mm-hmm,
that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a few people left, like Greg Maddux was like as close to unanimous as could be.
But there are hundreds of ballots
exactly,
that are out
there.
There.
And maybe thousands. But there were like maybe one or two stubborn people.
I think two people left him off the ballot.
So Al thinks there's going to be a couple of those people, I think, in the Manning vote, or maybe more. If he's saying, I think it would be harder to believe if Al said, like, you know, maybe half of the people wouldn't vote for him. I think that's a quarter of the people.
When Peyton retires, okay, Al, here we go. I'll give you, you know, equal time here. When Peyton retires and he's up for, you know, the Hall of Fame, and he gets 98.6% of the vote, you have a right to call back in and you have a right to say, I told you so. Okay? You have a right to say that. That's all I'll say.
He's actually got a pretty good chance because, you know, they say there's always one in the crowd. You know,
there is always one in the crowd. There is always one in the crowd. I know.
So that guy could make Al famous.
I suppose that's the case. All right, here we go. 855-PATS-500. Sorry, Al. I don't want to make you upset at us, but I mean, goodness, I couldn't take that. I couldn't take it. 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Several questions out on the table here in the playbook for you, not the least of which we added a new one to the equation here, and whether or not you feel, would you change your mind about Wes Welker if you knew that Julian Edelman was going to be as productive as he has been? Or do you still miss Wes Welker? Do you still wish he were on this team? How do you feel about LaFleur Welker, which was all almost anybody could talk about in the opening couple of weeks of this season? And yes, it was a big topic on this program. That's one thing. Number two, does November's game and the fact that Patriots came from behind to win in overtime, does it have any bearing at all on Sunday? Number three, who's got the bigger legacy on the line Sunday, Manning or Brady? I've made a little bit of a case for Tom Brady. Several of you have made your case for Peyton Manning. Do you have a case? 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com. Let's get a break in here. Back in the playbook in a bit.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot.
Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Half hour to go here on our Tuesday version of Patriots Playbook, Patriots.com Radio. Nitpick Tuesday, still plenty of time where you get yours in. There's not a lot to nitpick.
This will have
today to
be Prediction Thursday, too, for you.
Well, right? It would have to be, I guess, huh? Because Eric will be here. Eric Friends will be in this seat on Thursday for Prediction Thursday. So if you have an early prediction, I suppose you can go ahead and put it in there. Obviously, we did not get anybody to win a yearbook with a correct score prediction from last week, although I don't think anybody will really mind it too much since 43-22 was the correct score, a little bit of an odd score. Anytime you get a safety thrown in there, you know you're going to kind of mess things up, I guess. I don't know how many of you feel one way or the other about Brandon Spikes' story and the fact that he went on IR, and then we mentioned last week here in a column that I do for GoLocalProv.com as well that thought that there was just more to this story than really meets the eye, and as it turns out, apparently that is the case. Boston.com has had a piece on it. We've seen Chris Mortensen on ESPN.com opine a little about this as well. But apparently the decision to put Spikes on IR wasn't mutual. Now, I wasn't aware that it had to be a mutual decision between the two parties. And ultimately, I guess if it wasn't part of Spikes' plan, then this time it wasn't. But the Patriots went ahead and did it anyway. Premier Sports and Entertainment is the company that represents Spikes. And they took issue with, quote, a few of the erroneous points which have been circulating regarding the designation to put him on injured reserve, which, of course, ended his season, as we all know. And we talked about this last week. He's been dealing with a knee injury. It did play a factor from the team point of view. It did play a factor in the decision to put him on the IR. And then, of course, Chris Mortensen came out last week with a report that he might have been late to a meeting during the snowstorm that came through here. And apparently it wasn't the first time that he had been late for something. And so they just decided push comes to shove and let's just, you know, let's move on. We're not sure we're going to have him back anyway. And what this does, and I wrote about this last week, what this does, this tells me that I don't believe Brandon Spikes is going to play in a New England uniform again. I think they're pretty much ready to move on. He's had a decent career. He hasn't had a great career, but he's a second round pick that has certainly, had, an effect. He's good at some things. He's not good at others. I wouldn't say he's a bust, but then again, I wouldn't say he's certainly close to being, you know, an all pro caliber player either. He's just been a decent player. Fourth year pro out of Florida. ESPN report said that a big part of the reason he was put on IR is because he showed up late for practice on January 3rd, which was the day that a big storm hit the area, and we had a foot, almost 2 feet of snow in some parts here when that happened. Gary Uberstein is Spikes' agent. He didn't mention in this story that's out on Boston.com whether or not Spikes made it to practice on time that day or not, but he did not want to stop playing by being placed on injured reserve. In other words, Spikes wanted to try to gut this thing out, apparently, according to his agent and the agency that represents him. So I don't know what you make of this. Spikes and his agents say it was not a mutual decision, that he wanted to try to gut it out and play through the injury. And I don't know if you admire that or if you just feel like, you know, it's much ado about nothing. Or if you take the Patriots side on this story and you say, look, we're ready to move on here. He's got a knee. Problem. It clearly is hindering him in some form or fashion. And then when you take into consideration, maybe, and again, I say maybe he missed a meeting or maybe he was late for a meeting due to some extraneous circumstances. They just decided, you know what, let's move on here. And you know the Patriots have done this kind of thing in their past. And maybe they just don't want to fool with it. Maybe they feel like not everybody's pulling into the, you know, and reading on the same page and pulling together. And I can only tell you that I don't think that if he had missed one meeting, I don't think the Patriots would have been as quick to put him on IR if this weren't a recurring factor. And I've got a sense for a while that they kind of soured on Brandon Spikes, and not because he doesn't cover well or not because he does this or that. It's because I guess they feel like sometimes Brandon is out on his own little world, and if you follow him on Twitter, you kind of know what I'm talking about. And maybe they just felt like, you know what, you know, I think it's fine. You know, we're not really mad at him, but I think we're kind of ready to move on without him. And I think that's where the Patriots are in terms of their decision not only to put him on IR. They say he can't play. He says he can play. His agent says he can play. You know, he's an unrestricted free agent now. And I'd be stunned if the Patriots made an offer to bring him back. So if you have some thoughts on Brandon Spikes, love to hear what you have to say about that as well. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. The Ace Ticket Hotline, and, of course, the toll-free line is 855-PATS-500. Let me get a couple of tweets here. Neil says, I don't see New England spotting the Broncos 24 points off of three turnovers this time around. Not gonna happen. Obviously, in reference to the question, how much of a factor could game one between these two teams this year have on this Sunday's game? Yeah, I don't think that they're going to spot them 24 off of three turnovers either. Certainly, you know, it's going to boil down to whether or not the Patriots can manage the football and force Peyton Manning into some mistakes. And, yes, they have been able to do that against him in Manning's past. If the Patriots turn the ball over, there's very, I mean, you know, well, you have a little margin for error perhaps when you have a home game. When you're playing on the road and you're playing in a game of this kind of importance, you have zero margin for error. Zero. You cannot turn this game over. You cannot turn the ball over. You can't make mental mistakes. You can't commit penalties. You can't snap the football over a punter's head. You can't do any of that and have success. I just don't believe you can. And clearly, you know, the turnovers really, you know, they ended Indianapolis' season this past Saturday night here. If the Patriots take care of the football, play their game plan, and can run with some kind of effectiveness against Denver, thereby keeping the ball out of Denver's hands, then the Patriots can and probably will win this game. But that's a big if. You know, because if I'm Denver, man, I'm coming out flying. I'm coming out flying, and I am blowing and going, and I am no huddling, and I'm throwing the ball, and I am doing everything I can to, you know, step on the gas pedal early on the Patriots. I really am. And I certainly would not put it past Denver to get out to a big, you know, an early lead, 14-0, 17-0. That could happen here because Denver is capable, and we all know that they are capable of doing this on offense. Question is, can the Patriots catch up, and can they eventually slow them down on defense? Ah, the chess match begins. Robert on Twitter says, my biggest nitpick is losing to the Jets and Dolphins. Playing in New England would obviously be better. That's as good a nitpick, Robert, as I think anybody could come up with today, in addition to my Tom Brady nitpick from earlier, having to hold on extra points. Because, yeah, you don't lose to the Jets, a game that you should have won. You don't lose to the Dolphins, another game you should have won. Then you you'd have had home field advantage, and you'd be playing this game right now here at Gillette. That's a very good nitpick, sort of underneath it all here today. Scott in Huntington Beach, California says, my nitpick this week is to please stop taking phone calls from Big Al. Come on. We love you, Al. We love you, Al. Pawan in Secaucus, New Jersey. John, great game coming up this weekend. We're fortunate enough to witness these duels by these guys in our lifetime. Coming to your questions, there will be huge pressure on Manning as the record-setting offense, record touchdown season ends with a loss in the second game of the postseason. He says the game in November will definitely have an effect on this game as each team had 1 week of preparation on the opponent already. He said, this is deja vu of 2006. Let me bring an analogy. In 06, the Patriots let Vinatieri go to the Colts. The Colts were a very talented team, met the Patriots, who were with a bunch of no-name receivers in the AFC Championship game at home, and beat the Patriots. This sounds very similar to this year when the Pats let Welker go to Denver, and the Patriots, with no talent, no receivers, will face the talented Broncos at Denver. And that's what frightens me a lot. Pawan, that's actually pretty good. Good analogy there. Flint says, great win, John. Seriously, love the turnovers and the bruising ground game. And to those who criticize the show for being too negative, well, think of it as a weekly helping of humble pie. Okay, whatever. Nitpicks. Running the ball with a minute before halftime? Throw the ball. Get into field goal range as you do. Yep. Number two, giving up back-to-back bombs in that three-play Colts touchdown drive. Yeah, that was on my list. That's a good one, Flint. I don't know how you can give up those bombs like that in back-to-back plays, three-play touchdown, and puts Indianapolis right back at the game. I mean, clearly, it was a collective brain fart on the Patriots' sideline defensively there. That's another very good nitpick. And he says, we're in position in the game to put real pressure on the Colts, and we led the receivers behind the safeties? Really? Twice? Yeah. Yeah. Good one. And then he says, number three, a minor one, Vereen, catch the ball. That route up the sideline is your play. Make it! Yeah, I know. He had to kind of twist back awkwardly for it. I remember the play you're talking about, Flint. But you're right. He still looks like he could have had a shot at the ball. I know that he had the wrist injury, he says, but if you can't make that play, call something different. I watched the replay of Pat's Broncos on NFL Network. I think that game does matter some. The Broncos will certainly be more focused, looking for revenge, but they may get nervous if we go up early. However, something else did occur to me. With all of the Brady Manning hype this week and the tremendous back-to-back run game performances by Blount and company, it does seem that no one is talking about the ease with which Denver ran the ball on us. I know that Bill will address it. And that's a great point. Denver did run the ball with relative ease, and I think it's because the Patriots schematically were geared up to put pressure on the receivers for Denver in that game. And try to lock them up. So that's why it left the middle of the field open. Now, yeah, that's something that will have to be addressed because you do not want no Sean Moreno to, you know, run for, you know, 150, 200 yards, you know, like the Broncos did back in November. Because then that does to Denver what the Patriots need to do to the Broncos. That does for Denver, I should say, what the Patriots need to do to the Broncos. And that is control the tempo, control the clock, control the possession, force Manning into one dimensional play. Then you might be able to schematic somewhat like you did in the previous meeting. Because if you're going to allow them to run, but Denver needs to pass, well, then they're playing right into your hands. And he says, about letting Wes Welker go, Edelman has had a great year, no doubt, and Amendola should be commended for playing through his injury. He's obviously talented, but health has always been the issue. I think the actual point is we could have had Julian and Wes. Flint in Atlanta today. That's a good answer, Flint. And I'm kind of guessing here, and again, just a sense, because I've only heard from a few of you on the Welker story, because we entered that question in the equation late in the program today. But I think that most of you would have rather had Welker, because you could have had Wes and Julian, and with that, you know, together, obviously, if Welker had gotten dinged up here, just like he got dinged up in Denver, there's every reason to think that, you know, Edelman could have picked up the slack as well. We'll never know. I don't think the Patriots are any worse for the wear because of the move, and I think it bears repeating because it was almost unanimous. And that means all of us, Big Al, all of us, wish that Welker could have still stayed here. But again, you know, a lot of us also say in Bill we trust, and they made that decision, and it appears, at least at this stage of the game, that they're not really any worse off for having made the move. I mean, ultimately, you're in the AFC Championship game. Just so happens that Welker and the Broncos are your opponent. That's where you hope to get, with a chance to get into the Super Bowl. Mike in California, I believe we will have 50-50 percentage of runs and passes. Their pass defense is very vulnerable. There's no question. Especially losing, as they have in the defensive backfield. Chris Harris tore his ACL. He's out. So probably Quentin Jammer, who got burnt a bit this past week by the Chargers, and Phillip Rivers. My guess would be they'll have a week to work him up into complete speed, and he probably won't get burnt as badly, but you know that that will most likely be a target for Brady and for the offense and even for Josh McDaniels to sort of target here. That has to be. How can it not be? You got to see if you can take advantage of that. But I'm still trying to pound away at the middle. There's no question about it. Pound, 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 and then boom. You know, maybe a guy like Blunt can break off another big one. You have to hope for that if you're the Patriots, because it's been an unbelievable weapon to have over the last 4 weeks of this season, one that nobody was really sure we had, right? Brian in Essex, Vermont says, I really don't have any nitpicks for the Colts game. I thought aside from the bad snap to Allen, the game was pretty much a masterpiece. I do have serious concerns about this Broncos game, though. I'm concerned that the Patriots don't have enough in the receiver department to compete with Denver, especially now that they have Julius Thomas back. Yep, and that's a factor that was not around for the previous game because they didn't have Thomas then. I'm concerned that the run won't be as effective against a team that has a better-than-average rushing D. Well, part of that is you're just going to have to impose your will on the other defense. I mean, the key to running, really, in all honesty, Brian, and any team, any offensive lineman will tell you, you have to be able to impose your will and your game plan on the other team, no matter the other team's strength. Championship teams, more often than not, are able to do that. And if the Patriots are a championship team, they will be able to run the ball to an extent. The question is, however, whether or not Denver has the lead, forcing the Patriots maybe to loosen things up a little bit because they're playing from behind. That's why if the Patriots are going to utilize the run as effectively as they had over the last month, they must get up early in this game on Sunday. They must hold on to the football. They must play field position. And they've got to score. Obviously, it goes along with getting up early. They got to score. They have to take advantage in the red zone. And they've been great in the red zone over the last couple of weeks. They've been scoring touchdowns. 6 rushing touchdowns against the Colts. That's phenomenal. So if they can do, you know, most of those, not necessarily all of them, but most of them, then yeah, they absolutely will get up. And then they'll have a chance to make the running game work. But if the Colts come out, or the Broncos come out, as I suggested just a few moments ago, and blitzkrieg on the Patriots and get out to a 7-10, 14, 17-0 advantage like they did 24-0 here in November. And, of course, a lot of that is because the Patriots, you know, gave them the ball. But if the Broncos are able to do that, whether the Patriots give them the ball or not, then you're not going to run the football. You're going to be throwing the ball because you have to come from behind. And so that's sort of where it's kind of like, well, you can look at it and say, oh, well, they couldn't run the ball. Well, no, it's because they were forced to throw the ball. There's a big difference between being not able to run it and throwing it. Big difference here. He says, I'm encouraged that the Broncos defensive line and defensive secondary have suffered losses insofar that it helps to assuage the losses of the Patriots offense, defense, weapons, and roadblocks. But the Patriots' rushing D is clearly a weakness when faced with the rest of the playoff teams. Will Brady and his receivers be able to find enough success through the air to counter the offense of the Broncos and to make up for the better rushing D they are facing this week? Not sure how it's going to pan out, but I guess that's why we play the games. Very true, Brian. And, you know, to answer your question, yeah, if I'm Denver, I'm definitely trying to stop the run. You know, we're pretty decent at it already, but I'm definitely keying on LeGarrette Blount and Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen. And I'm definitely trying to make the Patriots throw the ball. Now, I don't know if they want to do that. Because if I'm Brady then, and I see that my alleys for my running backs aren't, you know, as quite as where they need to be, then I'm definitely targeting Quentin Jammer, and I'm targeting the other side of the field as well. And I'm looking for Amendola, and I'm looking for Edelman, and I'm dinking and dunking, and I'm moving the ball, and I'm matriculating the ball down the field, boys. That's what I'm doing. So I think that actually could play somewhat into their advantage. Denver takes away something that you're doing very well. Well, okay, fine. It's not like you're completely empty-handed here. He also says, no problems with Brady holding the ball on the extra point. Just like I had no problems with Gronkowski on the extra point. Gronk also got hurt coming down from a pass attempt while running. He should never be in the game again, just to be safe. Next man up absolutely includes Brady. It also makes every extra point a conversation possibility, right? So it adds some confusion to the opposing defense. Or conversion, I should say, possibility. Yep, that's good. I think it's simply a matter of injuries are put under an extreme microscope, and every armchair coach out there thinks they have the answer over Belichick. He said, no offense to you. There were tons of people out there questioning Gronk's presence on extra point attempts. No offense taken. As far as Broncos being motivated by Brady's holding, since it's legal, so is diving at people's knees. Sure, he got Gronk out of the game quickly, so why not just have every Patriots linebacker, cornerback, and safety dive at every Denver receiver's team's knees? Because it's a Bush League move. It was a Bush League when they did it to Gronk. It's Bush League now. And yeah, I consider it dirty. I also consider it terrible fundamentals. Tackling, in my opinion, is a lost art. Simply hitting players as hard as you possibly can in vital areas to knock them out of the game has taken its place. Remember early, Dante Hightower, just interested in banging, no interested in tackling. Good email, Brian. You have valid points there. Ray in North Carolina. Why punt on that 4th and 18 from the Colts 26 instead of kicking a field goal? I believe that was in the fourth quarter. Made no sense to me. That's as good a nitpick as any from this last week. I'm still not sure why they did that. I don't even know if anybody asked him that in the post game, because I don't recall hearing the answer to that question. I guess they just felt like it was superfluous. Maybe they didn't want Tom Brady back out there to have to hold on a field goal as opposed to holding on just an extra point, because typically on extra points, you don't get quite the rush that you sometimes get on field goals. That's the only thing I can tell you. That's all I got for that one. It's a good question and a very good nitpick, though. Here we go. I watched WWE on Mondays, and Who Man Mulligan and another Patriot were present. P.S. McCourty stinks. He's not all that great. I saw an article about a possible contract extension. The only reason he is getting one is because he is from Rutgers. Bill gives him all kinds of chances to prove he is worth that first-round pick, but so far I don't think he is worth it. Oh, Melvin in Tennessee. Really, Melvin? Nah, come on. Dude, he doesn't stink. What are you looking at? I don't think he's, you know, he's certainly not the corner that he started out to be, but I think he's more than adequate. In fact, he's a pretty good safety. He's Pro Bowl caliber safety. Come on. What are you looking at, Melvin? Ron says, especially with the Broncos defense sneaking up to corral Blunt, you think a flea flicker would be added to the playbook? I'm sure it's already in there. In all honesty, Ron, I'm sure it's already in there. I'd love to see him try it, though. You're absolutely right. Let's hand it off. Let's converge on Blunt, and let's flow it back to Brady and see if you can loosen things up. Why not? That's a good play call, especially if they're thinking pound, pound, pound with LeGarrette Blunt. No doubt. Most of his yardages come between the tackles, kids, not around end. It's come right up the middle. That's what's so amazing and so fantastic, really, about Blunt's running over the last month. It's come between the tackles. Luke says, John, didn't I tell you my prediction this was the 2012 Houston Texans repeat, that the offensive line will overpower the running backs tanked, a poised Brady and defense that forces turnovers? I saw it coming. Did you? Okay. Nitpick, the disastrous high snap which cost us the punter. Yikes. Yeah. He says, Kevin, that was a fantastic job on the montage, except you forgot to include Rex Ryan's eating a bunch of bleep cheeseburgers. Duly noted, Luke. Thank you. We'll let Kevin play that here to wrap up the show again in a minute, if you didn't hear it off the top of the program today. Dave in Florida says, Patriots definitely have a chance to win, but if they don't and Seattle wins also, when was the last time two number one seeds met in the Super Bowl? It's been a while. I'm sure somebody will look that up. I can't believe that nobody has. I haven't seen that online yet. See if we can find that, Kev, real quick. That's a good question. When was the last time two ones made the Super Bowl? It's been a while. Rachel, could you guys maybe see BB and his sons and Brady and his boys hanging out for real? We know Belichick likes to fish in the offseason. For some reason, I could picture Belichick, Brady, and all their boys out on a boat away from the lights and media. I don't know if they travel in the same circles, Rachel. I don't know. I think he kind of does some things with his kids, Tom does, and Giselle, and they kind of get out and... Yeah, I don't know. That would surprise me a little bit. I don't know that they're that close. Mike in Rhode Island. Can't listen in live today. I'm sending this email with my thoughts on this game. Normally, I'm optimistic. We're playing in Denver, but the weather's going to be nice. And by the way, yep, 58 and sunny right now is the forecast for next Sunday. I don't see how we can pull this one out. I hope I'm proven wrong. And I'll end with this question. Are you guys mentally prepared to lose this game? Wow. We need to be mentally prepared for this? Wow. Yeah. If you're really asking that, Mike, yeah, I'm mentally prepared for that. Sure. I mean, I think we all realize Denver's a very, very good football team. Denver, you know, got out to a huge 24-zip lead on the Patriots here in November, you know, with the Patriots' early turnovers in the game here in Foxborough. So if it's anywhere close to that, then you could certainly see Denver coming out and putting the wood to them at home. Yeah. And then the crowd gets behind it. It's just sort of a groundswell of emotion and energy. And, yeah, you could see it happen. I definitely could see Denver winning the game. Would not shock me if they did. You know, spent most of the last 24 to 48 hours trying to come up with reasons for the Patriots to win the game. And what we've talked quite a bit about today already. But sure, like in any big game, especially in the playoffs, field position and turnovers are magnified. It means more. So I'm telling you that while the Patriots put the ball on the turf, so to speak, and against the Broncos, leading to that 24-0 win, 24-0 lead they had in November, if the Patriots do that again, I will certainly go out on a limb and say they will not win in Denver. They did come back and win in November, and I'm sure there's some of you saying, well, yeah, but they came back and won in November. Playoffs are different, and this one's going to be on the road, and I just don't see that one turning around. Karen says, I have a suggestion for Sunday's championship game. I hear Denver is only selling tickets to fans from the Rocky Mountain area. So why doesn't Mr. Kraft let the real Pats fans enjoy it on the two big screens inside the stadium? He could charge a small admission fee to be collected as you enter the stadium. He could also charge a cheap parking fee. I think he'd draw a lot of real Patriot fans. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Has there ever been any thought to doing that? And I don't know. Has there ever been any thought, Kevin, to maybe even doing that, like if the Patriots got into the Super Bowl for something like that?
Not sure about that, but we do the away game viewing. I know we have that, which is like in the club. I'm not sure, like, if we've ever opened the stadium up to just watch it, you know, the bowl. I don't think we've ever done that.
I don't think we have either.
That decision is above our pay grade.
Yeah, and I think it probably has to do with bringing in a full complement, or how many people do you bring in to work the stadium? You know, concessionaires, security, you know, and you got to pay all these people. And are you making enough money really to be able to cover it? Nobody ever said that they operated a loss, and frankly, it'd be unfair to ask them to. So, it's a nice thought though, Karen. Nice thought. John from Maine says, should we be concerned about the thin air in Denver Stadium? I would think the Pats would want to be there a couple of days prior to allow the players to adjust, or is that not as big a deal as an athlete playing there? That's a good question, John, and I know there already has been some thought to moving up the schedule this week for the Patriots to depart Friday as opposed to Saturday morning. Part of that is because of the time change more so than the thin air, but certainly a benefit to being there early would allow them to acclimate a little bit better. I don't think it's quite as bad as in some areas, but and I know that the Patriots have done this in the past, and so I would not at all be surprised to see this team indeed move up their departure time to Friday rather than Saturday, with that being probably a part of the equation overall. Steven in San Antonio says, if the Patriots match score for score, why do they have to do it in the same way? Broncos fast-paced, passes, Patriots slow, steady, pounding, running. Besides, Peyton always has at least one interception or turnover in him. They don't have to do it the same way. You're absolutely right. They don't have to. But they would have to turn into a passing, fast-paced offense if the Broncos get out to an early lead. And then the Broncos start playing keep away, because they did that from San Diego this last week. Broncos really did not change their game plan other than they went no huddle. But they went on no huddle with a tempo offense. You know, the whole Omaha thing that you heard Peyton Manning do ad nauseum? you know, by listening to the parabolic microphone that picks up all the sounds on the sidelines? Right?
Omaha! Omaha!
Yep. Is that it? Was that enough?
Shorthox! 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 Richmond, Florida, Buffalo! Shorthox! Nice. Richmond, Florida, Buffalo! But
Yeah, Richmond, Florida, Buffalo. Obviously, code word for, you know, something. If you're wondering what Omaha meant, it's a code word for, you know, an offensive formation, probably more likely a snap count, only because there were, what, three or four neutral zone infractions by the Chargers in that game? Felix in Houston. I predicted 41-24 for the game. You said it was way too many points. I was a few points off. Do I still get a yearbook? Nope. You got to nail it, brother. That's the only way it's fair to everybody. Got to nail it. But, Felix, I will give you due credit. You said 41-24, and I said it was way too many points. You're right. I was wrong. There you go. Steven and Colleen, the balance between these two teams is uncanny. They are not the same teams that met earlier, which makes this even more interesting. If the Broncos end up with blunt force trauma, hoo-hoo, it will also mean TB12 tosses the rock for over 300 yards. Key has already stated, get up early, keep pounding. I'll happily give Manning the records if we can go on to get the ring. Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. All right, let me get a couple on Facebook in here as our final words today. Brian says, all right, here it goes. Game with Denver earlier this year has some things that both teams can look back on. Some, I say, because Patriots are totally different on offense. Denver is now missing a few key players. I believe that Bill knew what he had in our strong running back core in the preseason when we ran like hell all over the Eagles. He knew he had an ace in his pocket, being that the Super Bowl is outside this year, knew he'd pull it out later in the year when it was time. It was more important at the time to get the no-name cast of receivers up to speed with Tom. It also allowed Bill to keep the backfield fresh for this point in the season with a great rotation. He knew it and unleashed the beast in the Ravens game. So far, we haven't looked back. I believe with Harris being out this time around, the defensive back for the Broncos, Von Miller being out, that we'll win this game. Brady always picks apart the Denver defense, and now will do so even easier. But I think it'll be the short passes to Edelman and Amendola and Colley that'll open up the run game this time. Denver will be keying on the running game, rightfully so. We'll pass first and keep them off balanced all game long. Our defense, it's playing better. That's all I can ask for at this point in the season with all the injuries. We will storm into Denver. We will keep running to MetLife. All right. And then Paul says, a great performance by the offense, defense, and Gostkowski. My nitpick, probably that punt, which could have ended a total disaster. My other nitpick, Brady holding on extra points. We all remember Gronk getting hurt, and his temper started to flare late on in the game. I feared a cheap shot on Tom, injuring him. I just feel that having him out there on special teams is an unnecessary risk. Paul, I'd be stunned if that wasn't changed around this week and we don't see Ryan Mallett in that particular position. All right, that ends our time for today's program. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, because I have some of my, you know, wintertime college basketball duties and travel this week, we'll have guest hosts for the playbook tomorrow and Thursday. Tomorrow, Chris Price from WEEI.com. He's been a guest on this program several times in the past. He's going to sit in the host chair and he's going to run it through you. So make sure you tune in for Chris tomorrow. He's extremely knowledgeable. He covers this team as well as anyone does. And it's writer, broadcaster, what have you. Chris is on top of it. He knows all the scoop, and I hope you give him your undivided attention tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. Thursday, Eric Friends, who sat in for me when I was gone in November for a couple of days on assignment as well, writes for Boston.com, does an AFC East blog as well. He will be in the host chair on Thursday in the playbook on Prediction Thursday, so I'm sure you will inundate him with your predictions for the AFC Championship game. Do I give a score?
Yeah.
I'm really not prepared to do this, but I'll go out on a limb, and I'm going to say Patriots 30, Broncos 27. You know, maybe that's just the hopefulness in me, but as, you know, Brian just mentioned by reading his Facebook post, you know, I think that the key personnel differences between now and December or November's game could be playing to New England's advantage a little bit more. And, yes, the Patriots had Gronk then, don't have Gronk now. But, you know, I don't think they – I hate to say this. I don't think they need him. Would they use him if they could have him? Yeah, of course, of course. Best tight end of the game. But I think the way this team is pounding the rock right now, setting up the pass. It's a thing of beauty to see the ground game. I had a buddy of mine email me and say, wow, that running game was a thing of absolute magnificence on Saturday night. And I told him, I said, I totally agree with you. It's an amazing thing. Reminds me of some of the old ground games you see in college football where teams rush for 400 plus yards in a game. I mean, it felt like that. Especially to see Blunt go for the 73-yard touchdown. I mean, it just felt like that. And it, believe me, if they get anywhere close to that kind of feeling against Denver, the Patriots will be playing in the Super Bowl, and we're setting it up 1 week from today, talking about the Super Bowl. And I hope that will be the case. As I said, though, also earlier, whether they win or lose, I'll be back here in the playbook next Tuesday. But make sure you're here tomorrow, Wednesday, again for Chris Price, and Thursday for Eric Friends. And we'll wrap up today, if you're ready with that, Kevin, by ending with the opening montage. So rock and roll on your recorders or on your computers if you want to put this down. A nice job by producer Kevin Collins, and we'll do it again soon.
You know, I thought it was a great job by all our players tonight. I thought they really did a terrific job. We had a good week of preparation. We got some big plays from all three phases of the game. Just got to give credit to everybody.
And Luck looks in that direction off the step. He throws to the left side. The ball is picked off by Alfonso Benner. Takes it away. Down the right side of the 15. To the 10. To the 5.
And this place is absolute bedlam.
Shotgun snap. Luck retreats in the pocket. Dropped to the backside by Jamie Collins. Seemingly untouched.
I love it, man. Just the atmosphere throughout the building the whole week. The atmosphere pregame. The atmosphere throughout the game. It's nothing better than that, man.
Throws it to the near side. Ball is bobbled, then intercepted by Hightower on the deflection.
It's a good win for us, and I thought those guys really did a good job.
Luck fires down the middle. Ball picked off by Jamie Collins. Runs it right to the 30. Sprints past the 25-20, and Jamie Collins hit hard at the 19-yard line. And another interception thrown by Andrew Luck.
The plan is to always move the ball and score points. So whatever is the best way to do that, that's what we're going to do.
Get out the way. Hand off to Blunt. He runs into the left. He's in with a dive. Touchdown, Patriots. The Colts having trouble getting lined up. A hand off to Blunt. He runs it left. LeCourt's on his feet. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Out of the eye. Hand off to Blunt. He dives across the middle. Into the end zone for his third touchdown of the day.
Kid's a beast.
And our game plan was to play tough and play physical. Go out there and get a win, you know, by any means necessary.
Tom Brady hands it off to LeGarrette Blount. Just cut right. And he rambles out of a tackle. He's gone to the 50. Blount to the 40. Blount to the 30. Blount to the 20. Blount to the 10. Blount to the end zone for the fourth time tonight. Touchdown, Patriots.
Really proud of our football team. Looking forward to moving on, you know, to a bigger game next week.
You know, what's playing on my mind is how soon I can get a Bud Light in my mouth after this win. That is priority number one.
Victory formation for Tom Brady and the Pats. Bound for the AFC Championship game for the third straight year.